There are those who say that life is an illusion, and that reality is simply a figment of the imagination.
Look who the birds have brought us this week. Welcome, and congratulations for crossing the threshold of realities. There's much to share if you know the language of the birds. As we continue to usher in the new energies of the first quarter of 2022, we here at Godbox Cafe are introducing a new cycle of interviews that are specific to what we would classify as the healers of the 21st century. We hope you enjoy and reap the benefits of hearing these extraordinary individuals share their gifts. Welcome back to the Godbox Cafe. This is your host, Valkyrie. I am your sound architect, and I will be guiding you through the gates of yet another magical place that is occupied by the most incredible healer that I have had personal experience encountering. And the waves of energy that she radiates is something that I reaped the benefits from. And now it is time to tell the rest of the world exactly how wonderful that is. I would love to introduce you to Helen Smech. Thank you for spending time with us today, Helen.
I'm so happy to be here with everyone.
Can you please give us a bit of a backstory as far as when you came to understand that this was your path and how you chose to expand on what services you are now fully capable of providing?
I would love to. I have been walking my own journey now for close to 30 years, and it started with Reiki. And what I'll say is I came upon Reiki before it was what it is today. And it was something that a lot of people hadn't heard from. And I originally come from the business environment, but I just knew that I needed something more. So to be honest, I took Reiki level one, never planning on taking anything more. 30 days later, I took Reiki level two. And then 6 months later, I became a master teacher. And that has opened up the door to so many other things. In the midst of this, I moved up north and was blessed to have spent time with an Indigenous elder up in the North Bay region. And I became a feather carrier. I've also added reflexology, body talk, and most recently, Acunect. And every day with the work that I do, I can honestly say I'm blessed to be able to sit back and watch miracles unfold in people as they reclaim their life with me acting as the witness to it. And I feel so blessed with that opportunity that the universe has given me.
That's wonderful. And I personally experienced the body talk. And boy, you took me out of some very rigorously traumatic events early on. And you handled that with the utmost of understanding and consideration and just cradled me through the things as they surfaced. And I am forever grateful to you for having led me into a place where I could address those things without fear. Can you give us a little more detail on the whole body talk process as well? There is a wisdom to the body that is a separate thing very often. And most people, when they do energetic work, they don't incorporate the body into their modalities, which I believe is fundamental because the body is dense and it takes a while to respond to things that happen on an energetic level. It is great to intercept imbalances before they even present physically, but a multitude of people look for this type of alternative healing when they're already in a position where the body is saying, look, we need to talk. Please share that side of things as far as how one copes with the physical symptoms and how you address those through the body talk method?
Well, physical symptoms are very often exactly that, a symptom of something more. Now, in traditional Western medicine, we go to the physician and we often get a pill or something else, but we never address with that. We're just addressing the symptoms. So we're taking the pain away, or we're helping, for example, in anxiety, panic attacks, trying to control that, but we're never taking away the root cause that has manifested now in a physical form. You're right. It's the body's very dense. What body talk does is it explores what's going on that's causing the symptom to manifest. So to give you an example, somebody who's coming in with a weak immune system, which means, it could be that they're catching colds a lot of times. Oftentimes the immune system is linked to the spleen energy in Chinese medicine. And in that respect, it's the organ of worry. So people who worry a lot. Now, I'm not talking, we all worry. I'm talking about people who have that little mouse on the wheel and then the wheel just never stops. So what it does is it creates a weakness, and then a bug comes along and all of a sudden we catch every bug that's going on. So by them coming to see me, for example, their spleen may come up as being a priority and we're working on the spleen. At the same time, we're addressing their issues of worry and lessening that mouse on the wheel and hopefully stopping him on occasion. But what we're also doing is amping up the immune system so that they don't catch everything when they come in. And there's so many examples where the body does that. Knee pain is often when we tense up and we don't want to move forward in life, often it manifests as knee pain. So again, there's another perfect example where we often will throw some Voltaren or something on top of it. But by coming in for a body talk session, what you're addressing is not only the knee pain, but you're also addressing the, you know what? There's something that you're avoiding moving forward on in life. Now, as you said, I don't tell people how to move forward in life. I just make them aware of what I'm getting, because oftentimes it's not in our consciousness. It's the subconscious. So I'm just saying, hey, here's the story that I'm getting with body talk. Very rarely do I get no, there's nothing going on. Usually it's I've got to make a decision on this or that. I'm not happy in my career, or I'm not happy at school. I just don't know where to go and I don't know what to do. So I'm just not doing anything right now. So yeah, that's really with body talk. I'm the storyteller. I just have a protocol that I use that helps me to define what the chapters and what the story is. And then I present it to the client and they're the ones who take it and move from there.
And certainly the story you presented to me, although it involves some very painful and difficult situations, you presented it in such a way and in such a gentle manner, and you held the space so that I could address it, as you said, moving from the subconscious to the conscious, because it has to be released. And most assuredly, the symptoms I had magically disappeared as a result of confronting those demons. And I don't know anyone who doesn't have them. So what you do is bridge that fear gap where a person could be terrified to look at what it is that they're having to confront, but don't necessarily have the courage to do so on their own or even have the direction. Most people don't even know what the spleen carries from an emotional standpoint, or I certainly know what the gallbladder carries.
Yes.
But interestingly, it's interesting because I was the only person on both sides of my family who kept a gallbladder. And that is very much thanks to you. I have a great fondness for that organ. I didn't want to have it removed. And this is another thing that instead of surgical interventions where these vital necessary organs are simply taken out because they've reached a high toxicity level, you can avoid this. And it's really just getting acquainted with the vessel that you're occupying.
Absolutely. We've talked about the physical, but oftentimes I'm also dealing with, especially in these times, the number of people coming to see me for anxiety and panic attacks. I'll be honest, we're talking about organs. There's often a connection to kidney energy there. Kidney energy is where we have our fears and our guilt. By addressing the fears, and sometimes they're inherited, you know, I won't say that they're not. And that, of course, none of us will remember what we've inherited, but it's brought to the surface. It's how it's triggering us today that we're dealing with. It's amazing how very quickly, actually, I've got a lot of funny stories, because oftentimes people come see me when they've tried everything else. So I had somebody come see me for panic attacks, and very quickly, within two sessions, she was really starting to feel much better. She wasn't quite as housebound as she was prior. But what was really interesting is after the second session, when she came to see me for her third one, she came in and she was just thrilled, because in the second session, some scarring came up as a priority. Now, she had always worn tops that were quite high, so I wasn't aware, but she actually had scars from a burn she experienced as a child all over her chest. So she always wore these high tops. But then she show up the third time with a V-neck. And it's the first time she'd been wearing a V-neck. So she came in thrilled, going, "Helen, I'm feeling so much better. And look," so her scars had been ketoid before and they had relaxed. And so they were no longer raised, to the point where she now was wearing a V-neck top. Now, interestingly, there is a correlation, because when you think about panic attacks, it's hard breathing. The fascia was also constricting her chest area. So her improvement and having less panic attacks also, by addressing the scar issue, which I didn't know, and she didn't even write it on her intake form, addressed both things. So I have a lot of stories like that, where people will come to see me for one thing, not mention that they have something else. And in the midst of working with them, not only are we addressing the original item that they came to see me for, but all of a sudden these other things are cropping up that they just never thought that they had a cure for. It's not even a cure, that they had an option living without. So it's such a powerful, I'd say such a simple modality, but incredibly powerful. And because really what I'm doing is tapping into people's own ability and helping to remove the roadblocks that their body has put up with life coming along to allow it to function better so that their body can heal it and really itself.
I can't get enough of these anecdotes. It's so encouraging and life-affirming, and particularly now when there is this pervasive level of anxiety based on global events.
Yes.
And the fear most assuredly is everywhere to be found collectively, and those of us who are empaths can feel that without it necessarily being ours. What advice would you give amongst that category of the population who cannot distinguish between something that is theirs versus something that they're feeling around them?
Okay. There's two things that I know I do. One is, and it is tough, because we feel everyone's emotions and we tend to take on. Something that I do every evening is I actually send I'm not going to pretend that it's some fancy set of words. I send up a prayer to the divine to remove anything from me that's not mine, and send it up to the divine to continue on with its healing, so that it removes it from me before I go to sleep, put it back up to the universe to continue on. So for anyone whose lives I've touched that day. So that includes anybody by video. It could be a client and it could be family. Or it could be just the person in front of me, the metro store, who just seemed to be having a hard day. The other thing that, and I actually work a lot with people who are in the healing arts, and probably the one thing that we all seem to do really well is we spend an awful lot of time up in the sky, as I say, in our heads. And oftentimes we aren't very good at remaining grounded and rooted. And so I would say anything to keep yourself grounded every day. I know one thing that I know I do to myself is I actually hit the bottoms of my feet every day, because kidney one, which is a point right on the bottom of your foot that helps to ground you. So when you just slap the bottom of your foot every day, it helps to bring you back down to kidney one. I know some people have exercises where they imagine going into the earth. For me, that physical act of just stimulating that acupuncture point has helped me greatly. But remembering to do that every day, because what I've realized over time is that every house needs to have a very strong roof. And what supports the roof is what's beneath the house. So while it's really, really exciting to be in my head and flying, as I call it, if I don't have the beams to support it, I'm going to come crashing down myself. So in order to keep me strong for everyone else, like I said, giving it back up to the universe, so removing it from myself before I go to sleep, especially because that's when we all have time to heal ourselves. And also making sure that I'm grounded in some way. And, you know, people may have other things. I know some people will put oils on the bottoms of their feet to keep them grounded. Others will walk barefoot. It's getting a little bit cold up here in Ontario. So for the winter months, stimulating that kidney one point on the bottom of your foot is just something that I've done for years.
Those are words of wisdom and advice we should all be following. I can attest to that being the poster child for being a space cadet.
Well, it's sexy when you fly. I'm going to be honest. It's freeing. It's liberating. It's that body denseness of being grounded that's hard on us. So we tend to want to go to the other side. If I could do that all day, I would.
Yes, but you've achieved that beautiful place of balance. And I'm so glad that you're sharing that with our audience. That being said, you made mention of oils, and I know that you employed oils when it came to our sessions. How Yep. and when do you choose to use those based on what's presented to you?
I will actually, so with Body Talk, we do a simple muscle testing technique. And usually what will happen is my own instincts will say it's one of these oils. So, you know, let's say it might be three bottles. Oh, and it needs to go on this spot. And so what I'll do is I will take the bottle and muscle test which one's the right one. For example, one of the oils that I use is Valor, which is very good for grounding and for protection. There's another one, White Angelic, is probably one that I use multiple times a week. So not only does it make me feel good because it smells nice, it actually is really good for helping to clear people's stuff and emotions. And in between clients, I find that it's important that you take the time to clean out one person's emotions before the next one comes in. That often means making a little more time in your appointments, which is what I do. You know, I usually have an hour and a half between appointments to make sure I've kind of cleared out the area, and also to make sure that I am now centered into the new client and to keep me focused on that. But White Angelica is one that's great, has a lot of cleansing properties in it. The nice thing is as you said, the world has changed over the last really 2 years, and there's so much more that available online. So the good thing is that there's a lot of oils out there that if you want to know what to use, you can Google it these days. I am more than happy if somebody wants to reach out to me to be their personal assistant in finding the right oil. I don't mind doing that at all. Oils are exciting for me because I love the fact that they are really, they're kind of an ancient medicine, aren't they? You know, I think we all grew up with a grandmother somewhere that had some little concoction that when we got sick, we had to drink. I grew up drinking enormous amounts of chamomile tea. I'm going to be honest with you. Honey is one. So oils remind me of, it's an ancient wisdom in them. And there also comes an understanding over time. So for example, nature often gives us a clue as to what's good in what area. So for example, anything red is often very good for the kidneys. Kidney beans, perfect example. Anything yellow is very good for either the liver or the gallbladder. Grapes, anything from the grape side is very good for the lungs. And if you think about it, grapes themselves are like the sacs of the lungs. So we have, the signs are all around us. We just have to become aware and keeping that in mind as you employ the oils. And then, you know, everybody uses lavender to calm down. There's no mistake that scents. Peppermint is a great oil for waking up. You've got 2 o'clock afternoon crashes after you've had a lot of carbs for lunch. Smelling some peppermint. And one of the great things about oils is that they're an instant because they go immediately to the olfactories and stimulate the brain immediately. So there's no delay in it. So, for example, come back to people with panic attacks, having some lavender close by on a tissue so that you can smell it is a great way to, because it's even as you're having a panic attack, your brain is capturing the smell. And in fact, smell is the, out of all of our senses, before anything else develops, we have the sense of smell. Before, as babies, before we can see, we can smell. We could smell, you know, before our eyes open and we focus, we could smell our mom and our dad and recognize which one was which. So oils themselves, other than being nice in the homes, are very, very powerful healing tools themselves.
In the right hands and in the right quantities.
Yeah. You can go overboard, just like with crystals. You can kind of get a little bit overboard. So knowing how to apply them and when to apply them is quite the trick. And like I said, there's a number of great oils out there. I don't want to, you know, I use a specific oil that I've used the whole time. I've tried other oils, but there's an energy to the ones that I purchase that I haven't found in others. So I just stick to them. But it's something that's, it's a tactile for me. I feel it under my fingertips.
I'm very curious to learn more about this new modality that you've incorporated. I believe you mentioned it was AcuNect.
Yes, AcuNect is, it's actually very similar to Body Talk and has its roots in many ways in Body Talk. However, where it's different is that it does bring in much more of the Chinese medicine side into it. And if I had to differentiate between the two is that I have found that with Body Talk, I got the core story. With AcuNect, I'm getting the core story and the narrative much better. But the two overlap so much that it would be difficult for me to say this one's better than the other one. They're both equally powerful. What I find that there's a beautiful simplicity to AcuNect that makes it easier for my clients to understand. And really, end of the day, it's about the client, not about myself. But I've been in the Body Talk world now for 16 years. So I often get asked if I've got mental health training. The answer is no. It's just that my Body Talk training has taken me down this path and they're so detailed in getting down to things at the cellular level. Flip side is that most of my clients, while they may be interested, they don't really desire to go quite so deep. They want to know what's going on, you know, what are we working on? And so what I have found with AcuNect is that it gives me the vocabulary in a much better way so that the clients get, and they're like, oh yeah, you're right. Absolutely. The other thing that it does, as well as the Chinese medicine, it also brings in archetypes quite a bit. Your background is astrological. So when we work with archetypes, what we're dealing with is the mental aspect. And so much of our disease that comes into life is as a result of the mental manifesting into the physical. So when we're dealing with the archetype, for example, Jupiter, bringing in some lovely Jupiter energy and the joy of Jupiter, asking the person, you know, it's telling me that you need to laugh more, you know, or you need to have more fun. And they'll be like, yeah, I'm working all the time, is usually what I hear. And I'm like, well, we're bringing in a little bit of the Jupiter energy to this area because you're working all the time is affecting your sleep patterns and you're not able to shut it off. And that's an example of where AcuNect may take me. I use them intermittently. I go back and forth between the two, but I'm excited about AcuNect because it is, the vocabulary is easier. I'm actually now studying to be an instructor for a self-care technique because then I can share with others how they can have a bag of tricks of their own. They don't have to see me all the time. Or if they can't see me and they have something going on with their family, that they have something that they can do to quickly address some of the most common things going on in our worlds.
That's incredibly empowering, particularly under current circumstances where so much toxicity is bombarding us from an environmental standpoint, from media always tending to fixate on negativity. All of these things, if you are in any way compassionate, empathic, which the vast majority of people are, they're likely to be responsive to these types of stimuli. And you cannot just shut it all off. So it's necessary to find a way to navigate through this extremely unstable circumstance and find a way to cope with whatever situation presents itself. So that is, on behalf of humanity, I'm saying thank you. Because it's really important. People have this tendency to give their power away. So you don't want to create a dependency. Isn't the way these things work. So showing people how to get there themselves so that they then can do the same thing, even when you're not around, is probably the very best way to approach healing.
Absolutely. You know, I often tell my clients that if they're having to see me all the time, then they haven't reclaimed their life, which is what I get very excited over. Like, you know, I shared that story with the person with the panic attacks. I was so excited for her to be wearing this top and also just saying, you know, I feel comfortable. I'm going to go to a patio and have a coffee. So I know it sounds simple to those of us that have that ability, but for her, it was a big thing. So I know when she was, after she left, I kind of did a little happy dance because I was so happy for her. But the answer isn't for her to be seeing me all the time. The answer is for her to start that journey herself. And, you know, she's still a client of mine. It's been about 12 years. She comes in about 2 times a year. And I'm happy that she doesn't have to see me all the time. I love to see her. Don't get me wrong. She's a lovely lady, but I'm just so happy that she doesn't have to be here all the time, that she's able to do what she wants with her life. And, you know, she's made some incredible changes in her career and in other aspects. And that was really the core of what her panic attacks issue was, to be frank.
And we're all very individual in terms of how we respond to various situations. So there's no cut and dried approach. It's sort of an organic thing that as you get to know the person and the person trusts you, these things come to the surface and they come up in layers. You think you've dealt with something and then you peel away a couple off the surface. And then at least my personal experience has been, it's like, are this again? Really? I thought I was done with that. So maintenance definitely is part of the equation.
Well, and I honestly think that the universe does that to us. I think I would love to say that I've dealt with everything, and I know I haven't. But what I have discovered is that the universe every so once in a while, could be 5-6 years down the road, says, you know, let's see how you really, have you really dealt with this? And something rears its head again, right? And I just think that that's part of the journey. And what I'm grateful for is that, you know, when it does rear its head again, 5 or 6 years down the road, I'm in a better position usually to handle it. So even if I have a misstep, I recover much quickly. You know, missteps are okay. It's all about, am I letting it guide me now and drive me? Or am I saying, no, you know what? I'm moving on. And to me, it's about the I'm moving on.
And just raising your awareness so that when you see the scenario play itself out, you recognize it for what it is. It's an opportunity for you to respond in a different way than you have every other time that has presented itself.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm curious to know, with the number of years that you've been practicing and incorporating new ways of addressing all of these issues, have you noticed, from a generational standpoint, the response of people as far as their openness to this versus, say, someone who you may have seen 16 years ago? And right. Have you noticed a different level of receptivity on the part of the people coming to you?
Absolutely. What I will say is that I'm finding that my new clients tend to be between the ages of 25 and 35, 36. And it used to be people in their 40s were, not that I didn't have others, but what I'm finding is that they're a little bit younger. But what's interesting is that as they get more, as they come in and find out what's going on, they're bringing their parents with them. And in many ways, I feel that they're a bridge generation to this kind of work. Because the parents who come from a much more traditional mindset around traditional medicine, and, you know, please don't, I work alongside traditional medicine all the time. I have chiropractors who send their clients to me. I have osteopaths as well, naturopaths, because one of the beautiful things about the work that I do is that it's not exclusive, it's inclusive. And in fact, you know, there'll be times, for example, where I can do a balancing that may be osteopathic in nature, but it's going to take me 2 or 3 times with the individual to get them to a point. So I'll say, I'm going to work on it now, but just say no. If you go see an osteopath, you're probably going to get physically to a point much quicker than you will with me. So that's one of the beautiful things, is that it works in tandem with others. But yeah, what I find is that they're acting as they bridge. And because they're here, their parents are now much more comfortable coming to see me. And they don't think it's pie in the sky. I'm sure they have their words for what they think this is. And what's really interesting is that then I usually hear from friends of theirs. And they're like, I don't know what you do. And she couldn't explain it to me, but she says, I need to see you. So I'm just blessed that people are coming. And I think, if anything, the last couple of years, and let's be honest, the traditional medical world being closed off in many ways to people who had become overly dependent on it, has in many ways had people start searching for something else.
Well, we're shifting from what our parents lived through in terms of an industrial revolution, and now going into an information age. So priorities have changed, the way that we communicate has changed, but there are also new maladies that are cropping up based on dependence on technology that has never been experienced generations prior. How do you address that? Say someone who experiences anxiety if they don't have their phone on them 24 hours a day?
Well, I address it the same way, because anxiety is anxiety. The trigger is the phone for that person. So it's different from individual to individual. So, and that's with both Body Talk and AccuNect, there isn't one size fits all. But at the core of every anxious issue is fear of some kind. So finding out what that fear is, what is causing that person, is really what they've done is they've now replaced something, their phone, with for something else that they're afraid of. So by helping them to identify what the fear is, gradually the phone gets put by the wayside, or they'll put do not disturb on. Or, you know, sadly, we have become a world. And again, I'm going to go back to my business ties. I come from a world where I was quite senior in the business world, where I easily worked a 60, 70 hour week. And that was the norm. And I did that for years. I don't know if the whole phone thing is any more prevalent today. Well, I guess it is in some ways, because in the absence of people, but that intrusion into our space has been going on for years. Again, you know, back to that, my business world experience, it was not unusual for me to have my phone on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It would be Saturday, 8 o'clock at night. There was an emergency and I would get a call. And I've been out of that world for a number of years now. So, you know, I left it pre-COVID. I think that what's happened is that the last 2 years has really just shone a big light on what our world had become. And not only did it shine a light on it, but I think in many ways, it's also, by doing that, has made the world in a lot of ways realize, whoa, what are we doing? What is important in life? That's why I say I go in and I address the actual fear, and that changes the behavior.
Oh, these are words that I would definitely say are, I don't think we can top that as far as a way to circle back to the very beginning. The whole last 2 years has certainly, by being forced to stand still and take a look, step out of the gerbil wheel, whether we want to or not, that standing still, the act of being made to stand still, has brought that to the forefront. And what, on the basis of the categories of individuals you're seeing now, who undoubtedly are directly experiencing this massive transition, what advice would you give as far as how is it that we should best approach creating our new future from a proactive standpoint instead of simply being reactive to things as they occur?
I would say start with the small changes in ourselves. We all want to, hey, you know what? I would love to be able to lose 20 pounds by the end of the week. It's not going to happen. And we tend to have these really, really high expectations of ourselves. And we do that as well with our own mental health. We get very angry at ourselves because we don't understand why we can't control it. So I would, you know, I always say start with the small. So even if it's once a day, one of the great things about technology is that there's two sides to it. There's both a positive and a negative. Go find some funny goat videos or funny kitty videos or funny puppy videos and just spend 2-3 minutes looking at them, because it's going to change your mood. It's going to change the serotonin and dopamine levels in your body. It's going to, which are feel good. And if you do that over your, or just make sure that you take 10 minutes. Yeah. And I would say start with once a week. And that's what I mean by the small steps. And if you've got once a week down, then move to twice a week, move to 3 times a week, because then we don't set ourselves up for failure. And too often we're already so busy beating ourselves up. And then we set these really high expectations. Like I said, me, you know, losing 20 pounds by the end of the week, I know I'm setting myself up for failure. But, you know, if I set a plan for the next 8 weeks, I can do it. And I can do it with just little small changes in my life. And it's the same thing with our mental health and our anxiety levels and how much the phones and technology. Even if all you do is turn it off while you're having dinner with the kids and being engaged with the children or with your spouse. I think we've all been in the days when we were at restaurants more than we are now. And you see these people, everybody at the table is looking at their phone and nobody's talking with each other. So just once a week, even if it's just on a Sunday afternoon or Sunday for breakfast, to have just spend time really engaged in something. But like I said, even if all you can do is a 3-minute funny goat video, that's not Jupiter fun. Have a little more fun in life, because it does change everything, and it changes your view and your perspective, and it'll change your mood for the afternoon if you do it at lunch.
Ellen, this was magical. Can you please tell our audience how they could get in touch with you by way of your website or any other form of social media where you present this glorious information on a regular basis?
Sure. I am on Instagram under A Source Within. And what you'll see, I actually tend to just post on their motivational quotes and also jokes, because I come back to there's no better cure for things in life than laughter. My website is www.asourcewithin.com, or they can reach out to me by phone at 905-606-0007.
Perfect. Thank you so much. I'll be sure to include that in the show notes. Once again, my deepest gratitude for giving of your time and yourself and your continued service to others on this planet. You are a gift, and a gift that keeps on giving. So I want to give some of that back to you so that you can
continue. Thank you so much. And I wish everyone a lovely, lovely day. Winter is a time of sleep, rest, relaxation, and recovery.
We certainly hope this dialogue brought you clarity and peace of mind until we meet again at the God Box Cafe.